You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The buildup of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere is warming the oceans, and the waters off New England's coast are seeing some of the most dramatic temperature increases of anywhere in the world. That is having a major effect on lobster populations and the fishermen who rely on them. In southern New England, water temperatures have gotten uncomfortably warm, and the lobster fishery has collapsed. A little to the north, in the Gulf of Maine, temperatures have hit a sweet spot for lobsters, and landings have exploded. That's been a boon for Maine lobstermen, but for some who live and fish near the Canadian border, it has also brought heightened tensions with their neighbors and competitors to the north. That's the story of a new film called Lobster War. David Abel is the co-producer of that. He's an award-winning reporter who covers fisheries and environmental issues for the Boston Globe. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
At the center of this story is one small rocky island out in the northern Gulf of Maine, Machias Seal Island. And I was really and truly floored to know that this is still disputed territory, that there is still a part of the Canadian-American border that is under dispute. How can that even still be?
Well, this dispute goes back to the end of the Revolutionary War, and it comes down to a provision in the Treaty of Paris that both sides basically said favored them for owning this island. And the thing is that nobody really cared that much about this island for centuries, but they cared about the waters around them. And it wasn't really until the last decade or so that all of a sudden the warming waters of the Gulf of Maine caused, arguably, the lobster population to surge. And that surge in the lobster population around this island, which both countries refer to as the gray zone, caused an interest on the part of the Canadians, who long ceded the waters to the Americans, to say, those are our waters too, and we're going to fish them.
So at this point, there are actually Canadian lighthouse keepers. There's a lighthouse. There are some buildings on Machias Seal Island. And there are Canadian lighthouse keepers who are out there maintaining it. And you actually spoke to them. Let's hear a little bit of that conversation.
Is this American land or is this Canadian land?
It's disputed land. We're Canadians. And like I say, we man it and we fly our flag. And it's because we're here.
It's disputed property, so I would say Canada, because we're here, we've been here a while, so quite a while, so I'd say it's probably Canada's.
People actually living on the island seems like a pretty strong case. What's the American case?
Well, let me first say that the Canadians in the 1800s decided to build this lighthouse as a way of asserting their sovereignty, and that lighthouse at this point is now the only manned lighthouse in all of Atlantic Canada. And that is essentially a way of flying the maple leaf over this small puffin colony to say, we're here and you're not, therefore it's our land. But the Americans have long asserted that the language in the Treaty of Paris essentially would have given the United States the rights to the island because of its proximity to land. It's closer to the United States than it is to Canada. And the Canadians point to a provision in that agreement that suggested that as long as the island was considered a part of Nova Scotia, which they claim it was and the Americans dispute, it would have been a Canadian island.
Well, David Abel, a lot of the film Lobster War is not just documenting this fascinating tension and conflict, but actually getting at some of the root cause. And you already mentioned what is ostensibly one of the causes, which is that rising water temperatures have actually caused an increase in the lobster population and the landings, the amount of lobster being caught in the gray zone, I mean, has just skyrocketed in recent years. Is that all temperature? Do we know that for sure?
We don't know for sure. There are, of course, other explanations for why the lobster population has been rising. But I think that the vast majority of scientists look at the warming waters. And what we're seeing is we're seeing lobster moving north every year. and they are heavily dependent on temperature, and they can thrive only within a relatively narrow band of temperatures. And when those temperatures reach a threshold that's too high consistently, it can be a big problem. And we've seen that problem south of Cape Cod through Long Island Sound, where there used to be a major lobster fishery. And that fishery has, as you noted, collapsed. We've seen a decline in the catch by some 90% in areas off Connecticut, Long Island, and Rhode Island. And the catch has been modest in other parts of traditional fishing grounds north of Cape Cod. And the catch has been declining to some extent, even in the Portland area up through the mid-coast of Maine. But when you get up to the mid-coast of Maine and further north, the lobster catch over the last decade has surged. And arguably it surged because the waters have reached a sweet spot. And they're right in the temperatures that lobsters thrive in. And that has allowed for the ability of lobster to just really increase their population. That said, there are a host of conservation practices that some compare almost to aquaculture, in that you have thousands of lobstermen all along the coast that essentially feed lobster and grow them.
With their lobster traps.
Exactly. And they only catch and keep lobsters of a certain size. So the lobster can come in and out of the traps often if they're small enough. And so this is a very unique practice in fisheries. And that has also played a significant role in allowing their populations to increase. But climate change is also a major factor.
Yeah, I mean, another factor that comes up is actually the decline of cod, which large cod can eat small lobsters. But that doesn't fully explain, first this increase, but the fact that that increase seems to be slowing or reversing now. And you spoke with Diane Cowan of the Lobster Conservancy, and it was really interesting because she kind of said, when the landings started to skyrocket, initially she was totally okay with that because she was seeing lots more baby lobsters coming in too. She was actually seeing the increase in the population. But now with the landings so high, she's not seeing the babies come in. And she sounded a real note of concern. Here's Diane Cowan.
So if we get to a point where the lobsters can't find the deep cold water or whatever cold water they need, if they can't get to the cold water, they're really and truly doomed.
I mean, doomed is a pretty strong word. Is this a concern that you are also hearing from the fishermen, the lobstermen?
I think lobstermen by nature are fatalists, and they're often pretty concerned about what's going to happen in the next fishing season. And actually, one of the things one of the people told me while I was making the film was his fears were stoked in some ways because that eternal fear and that eternal anxiety was for the first time dissipating, and he wasn't hearing that as much. Of course, last year, or rather in 2017, the lobster catch fell 20% off its peak in 2016, which was the record year when more than 130 million pounds of lobster were caught in Maine alone.
Wow.
And that brought in something like almost $500 million in income for lobstermen throughout Maine. The 20% decline, while shocking and concerning and potentially for some lobstermen a sign of the apocalypse that Diane Cowan suggested could be coming, was not in the scheme of things a big deal, in that it was still well above the historic catches and quite a good year if you look at it over a longer period of time. Many people believe that last year's catch, the 2018 catch, which we're still waiting for the figures for, did increase. And I've heard estimates that there was probably roughly 10% increase over the previous year, which would be significant and make it one of the best years on record. So We're not quite seeing the apocalypse yet, but as lobster continue to move north, it could be that Canada ends up essentially winning this conflict, and that would be because ultimately of climate change in nature.
Well, David Abel, you mentioned that, you know, the lobster are steadily moving northward in the film Lobster War. You actually quote some numbers and you say they're moving northward on average 4 miles per year. So 200 miles by 2100. Where does that put, to get back to the theme of the movie, the gray zone, this disputed area? And could we see a shift in the tensions there from tension that's driven by a boom to tension that's driven by scarcity?
Ultimately, yes, that is very much a possibility and definitely a deep concern among many of the fishermen. And we'll see how that plays out. It still remains a bountiful place to catch lobster, and we're seeing a significant investment by fishermen throughout that area in buying new boats and investing in gear. Even some of the older fishermen, there's a fisherman in our film who's 61, and he just invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in a brand new boat. So there's still the boom mentality, but that concern about a potential bust is very much in the minds of a lot of fishermen. And that bust, if it comes, if there is a collapse in the lobster catch, will be especially painful because of all of these investments and the need for many of these fishermen to actually continue to catch at higher rates than they did before because they have so many investments in their work.
You know, even among different lobstermen in Maine, that there's a territorialness, and occasionally there is actually violence when somebody oversteps an invisible boundary in the ocean or, you know, interferes with somebody's gear. And that's a concern that a lot of the fishermen that you spoke to in Lobster Wars kind of brought up. How much of a risk of violence is there along the border, and what would be the ramifications, you know, if somebody did fire a gun?
There have certainly been threats back and forth, and there have been some sabotage of lobster traps on both sides of the border. And one of the fishermen was recounting a story to me about how some of his fellow fishermen had brought guns to sea and tried to scare off some of their counterparts from across the border. And then at the end of the story, he said, well, some of those fishermen could have included me.
Ah.
So it is not hypothetical. There is an intense conflict. However, there's also respect, and fishermen on both sides of the border, as much as they squabble, they help each other out. And some of them, at least, look out for each other.
David Abel of the Boston Globe, his new film is Lobster War. You can find information about screenings at lobsterwar.com. David, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Up next, the accidental discovery of phosphorus 350 years ago may actually hold the key to making sure we don't run out of that key fertilizer. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.